Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Hi, Tracy, for every episode, you email your show notes to me, and I come up with a creative way to open up the show, right?
Yes, that is correct.
I was actually shocked because you emailed me the show notes days earlier than you used to, and I'm like, oh, she's on the ball here. And then all of a sudden, you show up late to the studio. But anyway, all right, I got to say...
Hey, is this about the show, or is this, about me?
This has nothing
come
to do
on.
With the topic. All right.
Exactly.
All right. Your topic, though, was a challenge for me this episode. Part of the topic of discussion today relates to negotiations. And I've got to say, your bullet points to me included words like opponent, adversary, and defeating the person across the table. Girl, I don't know what kind of war rooms you've been in, or maybe it's the fact that my negotiations have been simplified these days to, like, if you don't whine today, you can play with your iPod on the way to Aunt Tracy's house. But I'm curious to see what your battle scars are based on with this topic. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. This is the Journey to There radio show, the intersection between personal and business growth, and we're online at journeytothere.com. All of the episodes can be heard by our fans on iTunes. Can I call them fans? Are they fans?
Fans and followers.
Fans and followers.
Yes, you can.
On iTunes, iHeartRadio, Empower Radio, and Stitcher. Tracy, the topic, it's not about the person. It's about the solution and negotiations, how they can be tricky. I'd love to hear some of your experiences here.
Well, I would like to clarify for the record that my information, if you will, that I provide to Russ so that I can't, I mean, I like to catch him off guard, but I also like him to at least try to have a clue where my brain is, which no one would want that job. So please don't apply. So this whole thing, he used words like adversary and winning across the table and defeat and all of this kind of like really emotionally aggressive words, if you will. And I did send those words over, but what I sent them over to you is because we're going to talk about the flip side of that.
Oh.
And you did. You took my bait, actually.
Oh, I did. Okay, good.
Yes,
so I'm a sucker.
Because you saw the word negotiation, and then the words that you attached to negotiation were very aggressive, assertive,
very.
In some cases negative. And wait, oh my gosh, you even mentioned war zone.
War room, yeah.
But, war room, yeah. War zone, battle, you know, all of these things.
What kind of negotiations have you been involved in?
Well, that's my point, is that I have been involved in some of those negotiations, and sometimes they go south really fast. And do you want to even venture a guess as to why that is the case?
Tracy-isms?
No, this isn't. I mean, okay, people, Russ particularly, this is really not about me. This is about anyone. Let's just get really clear. Let's just hone it down. This show is about this particular show is about anyone who has ever had to negotiate in business, a freelancer in a contract, a mother with a child who's throwing a temper tantrum, a husband with a wife, a parent and an adult child. This is about those kinds of negotiations. This is not about how I personally negotiate.
Okay,
however,
okay.
I'm going to share insight on that.
All right.
Hello?
I got you.
Are you there?
I got you.
Okay, good. And the reason, so what I'm asking for today is for you primarily.
She's pointing at me, but I think she's
because
speaking
he's
to,
just gotten
to
a, he's
all of
gotten
us listeners.
I mean, all of a sudden I feel very adversarial and defensive and like I'm in a war zone, in a war room, in the studio. But no, because here's the thing. I think a lot of people, and I actually am grateful that you brought it in this way, because that is typically when people think about negotiation, that's where they go, that it has to be like this big battle and you got to ramp up your courage. You got to, you know, feel the fear and go in anyway.
Do you think it might end up as a battle oftentimes because of the anxiety going into a negotiation? You're building it up more than maybe it needs to be built up.
Well, I'm glad that you circled back to the original question. But my personal opinion is that they fail because people get personal. And what I mean by that is, first of all, you're not going to enter into any type of negotiation or debate or argument, if you will, if it's not worth something to you.
Of course.
You have a stance.
Yeah. What's in it for me?
What's in it for you? Yes. What's in it for you? What's in it for me? So we meet and we try to meet in the middle. But what we bring into that conversation or that negotiation or that dialogue even is this real strong stance from an emotional perspective of you're wrong, I'm right, and I'm going to make sure that you see that I'm right because that means I win. Does that feel like any way remotely familiar to you?
Kind of like you have to sell
yourself. Elaine?
you have to sell yourself. Oh, there's a lot of negotiations between husbands and wives. I'll vouch for that.
Oh, yes. Yes, there are. And that's why we are the intersection of personal and business growth right here at Journey to There.
For those of you who are just joining us, when she said Elaine, that is my spouse.
Yes, it wasn't me going Bueller. okay, so you have you're coming into this conflict, this negotiation, this trying to establish a mutually agreed upon solution. So we go back to the topic. The topic is not about the person; it's about
the solution.
So it's not about the person that you are coming into the negotiation. It's not about the person that you're negotiating with. If you stay focused on the fact that the entire premise of why you're at the table, literally or figuratively, is because you're working towards a solution, not a win, not a right, not a wrong, not a spiel of everything that you can possibly stand on a soapbox for to convince the other person that you're right, but looking at the conversation as a coming to a solution.
Okay, so something as simple as...
you change your perspective, you change your world?
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. Something to the effect of, I woke up this morning and I'm going in to see the boss and today's the day I'm going to ask for a raise. And that's going to lead to a negotiation.
Right. So when you're going into that, so good example. So let's walk through it. So you're going into the situation. Depending on the scenario, but let's say it's a scenario where you've been working way over the amount of time that you were paid for working, but you're that committed and you're really involved in your job and you love it and you give. Now, we've talked about this on a previous episode. Those are always your choices. You can choose just to work the hours that you're hired to do, or you can choose to go above and beyond, but you have to understand that the outcome might not always be what you expect.
Well, sometimes you are expected to go above and beyond, though. Sometimes there's pressure to go above and beyond.
Yes. And most every job these days, that is. I mean,
correct.
Whether you're an independent contractor, I'm actually going through an amazing process right now, and it actually was based on the outcome of my last negotiation. So maybe it's just a little fresh in my mind today. What do you think? But I am working with a on a project management team, if you will, and my part of the business strategy is only one element of the rest of the team. So my particular part of the negotiation for myself was the role that I play in that team and the compensation attached to that and the deliverables, right?
Right.
So when I went into that negotiation, my emotion, so this doesn't necessarily have to do with the boss employee, but it does have to do with I'm an independent contractor trying to get a financial outcome for the amount of work that I'm going to put into it. And they are trying to negotiate the very best deal to get the most work out of me without paying the most that they need to for the quality of the work.
Best bang for the buck, yes.
Yes. And so that negotiation actually was a little odd for me because typically I negotiate all of my own deals directly. But this opportunity was interesting to me from a personal perspective. So hello, personal energy coming into the table. I personally really wanted the opportunity to work with this particular client because it was a new business category for me that I have never worked with. And that's rare because I've worked with about 100 different ones at least. But this particular industry I had not ever worked in. And so for me, it was an opportunity to learn more about that industry and also be able to add that to my particular portfolio. However, in order to do that, I needed to negotiate through a middleman.
Okay.
So that was, first of all, I had a personal emotional investment in it because I really wanted to have this opportunity and it was an exciting new adventure for me. Secondly, I know what my rates are and I know what I charge and I know how I bill and I know everything about how I do things for my business. And I've been doing it for so long that it's just, you know, it's black and white. It's straight up. It's very transparent. It's, hey, if you want me, this is how much it costs. You know, I'm great. You pay me. You get great work. Love how I negotiate.
Yeah, there you go. And, simple.
But this particular situation was odd because I'd never worked with this person before. And because I am so straight up, I would never be able to be a poker player like in my life ever because I, well, first of all, I'd probably giggle at the table because I would, that, I don't even know why. I just
that's her tell.
Because I'd have anxiety, so I'd probably laugh. But no, I mean, I strive to be 100% honest in every situation that's remotely possible without tearing down somebody's feelings.
Okay.
So in negotiation, I really just prefer to cut to the bottom line. It's like, in my mind, that is going for the solution instead of coming in with the emotion. Anyway, circling back, this was odd for me because I didn't have the variables. Like, I didn't know how much the client's budget was. I didn't know what part was playing in it. And I had a middle person negotiating my services without me being at the table. I was very uncomfortable with that because I wanted to be sure that I was represented in the way that I would be able to deliver upon what was being represented.
Right.
So I had a lot of anxiety and I had a lot of frustration around this particular negotiation because it was so 180 degrees different than what I'm used to. So finally, I got to this place where I just had to be very direct. And if I wanted the solution to be a win-win, which I do believe that that's possible in negotiations.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's a 51-49,
that's
if you
okay.
will. But if it gets as close to a 51-49, then you have definitely made a great negotiation. So for me, I had to take my emotional frustration against the person. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I had to back out of that because I was getting very frustrated with the individual, not with the project. So what I found, I had was
when you say the individual, we're talking about the middleman.
The middleman, uh-huh. Right, exactly. So I came into it with a level of excitement, interested in the business, the opportunity, working with the business category. But by the time the negotiation to finalize the contract was happening, I was so irritable and frustrated with the person who was negotiating on my behalf that I even lost sight that the solution that I wanted was to get the contract.
Right.
Because I had all this emotion and frustrating building towards the person that was negotiating for me. And I had to step back from it, and I had to really look at and separate, okay, is this emotion about how badly you want this contract, or is this emotion really about the person that you're negotiating with? And if that's the case, you need to solve that because you are never going to get the solution that you want if you keep getting frustrated every time you come to the table.
So let me jump in here. So you had to basically stop and step outside your comfort zone a little bit, but you did that all internally without being combative to this middleman that we're speaking of.
Yes, I did that. But at the same time, my emotion, my personal emotional attachment was ramping up pretty significantly. And I felt like it was starting to alter my perspective on the outcome,
right,
which is the solution. Because at a point I was just basically like, I just don't even want to do this because this is just getting so unnecessarily complicated. But then I had to pause and stop when I heard myself saying that to myself. And I think, like, to tie that back into personal world, yours, mine, and people that are listening, it's like, when you feel yourself, when you are arguing with a spouse or a child or a boss, or hopefully you're not arguing with your boss, but the same, you know, you're trying to get a solution that is desirable to you with your boss, or any of those conversations where you start to feel your emotions start to rise up. And that is a physical feeling. Like, you can go into it happy, you can go into it even fearful. But when that emotion shifts, that level of anxiety starts creeping up from your stomach to your chest, and your throat starts closing and your temper starts rising. And then I don't really have like what I would consider a really hot temper, but I have negotiated with some people that do, and their face starts turning red and the cartoon character with the steam coming
right
out of the ears.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, you know, A, if you're feeling that within yourself and you feel the heat on your neck and your face, you know your emotions are about to go over your logic.
Well, and that starts to show also within the negotiation.
It totally does. And then you're putting yourself at a disadvantage because they're looking at you like, first of all, why are you acting like this or freaking out or being intense or whatever. And all of a sudden, it's not about what you even came to the table with. So you might be having, I'm just going to use this maybe as an example. I may or may not have experienced it, but my husband and I have a tendency to have discussions around long-term business planning. Long-term family financial planning. Because for listeners who may be just joining us, his background is in finance, wealth management. So I'm married to the proverbial, Morgan Keegan. his name is not Morgan Keegan. However, he is Morgan Keegan, if you know what I'm saying. So when we have had these conversations before, they would typically start out in the conversation looking towards a solution or looking towards an outcome that one of us feels is possible. What ends up usually happening is I feel like I'm not getting my point across. And what I'm trying to actually explain is my personal philosophy, which I'm emotionally attached to. And I want to feel like he gets my side. So then I just start trying to make it about my side. And then I can start getting mad at him because I know his side makes more sense than mine, but mine is how I feel.
So we're crossing between.
We're not even talking about financial planning at this point. We're just talking about like you are a know-it-all and I am a know-it-all and who knows the most.
So we're getting the cross between logical and emotional here.
Well, what happens is, and this is again, why the topic is named this, at that point, like using that particular example or using the example that I brought in before, the business example, is you are no longer fighting for a solution. You are now fighting the person. And right. That's the thing. It's like you're, and then, oh boy, take it to another level. Now, this really is more the personal side than the business side. But then you get into the you're crazy or you never or other trigger words like it's always.
Okay. And now, let me bring, because you have a lot of these combative words. You're crazy and
well, those are accusatory.
Okay.
Let's trigger a battle.
Let's bring in the simplistic example that I had where I'm going into work today and I'm going to ask my boss for a raise. You have, yes. I would think you have some advice as my drive into work, how I need to mentally prepare myself. And then there's going to be different outcomes. I have no idea what the reaction is going to be. I don't know if, you've been working great. I have no problem giving you a raise. Or is this where you might use the crazy thing? Are you crazy? Do you think we can afford this?
If you do that, you're not getting your raise. Now, you might say your wife is crazy, Russ, but you ain't going to tell your boss she's crazy.
Oh, no. Flip that over. I'm saying to the boss, yes, I think it's time. I'd like to ask for some higher compensation. I'm saying the boss turning back to me and saying, are you crazy? Are you?
Yeah, I'd really love it if we had a live audience right now, because I'm about to say, are you asking for a raise right now? Because you really keep coming back to this topic and I am crazy. So I don't know.
So what is your advice going into it?
Okay. Thank you. And I will answer your question and we will discuss your compensation off the air. I would recommend this. I would recommend that first and foremost, you take that moment before you walk in the door, you're in the car driving on the way, like you said, and you have the conversation with yourself first, almost like you role play it out. And then if you feel your anxiety coming up and it's anything other than a little bit being nervous, because it's natural to feel nervous going into a conversation like this, because
definitely.
You're right. They could look at you and be like, are you kidding me right now? We've been behind the last four quarters and you're in charge of business development and you want to raise?
Right.
Hello. That is not going to be the kind of answer that you're going to want to receive. So at the same time, if you've been in charge of business development in the last four quarters, you have exceeded your goals and the expectations for the company, and they are cutting your commission as a result of it, which I have actually seen happen. I never managed that way, but I've seen it in other organizations, and it infuriates me because if a person is in charge of business development and they develop business, then everybody should be making more money. I would, to answer your question, okay, I would stick to the facts. First and foremost, I would come into the conversation in a very clear and direct and factual way, because the facts that you're going to be presenting on your behalf, no matter what the type of negotiation is, quite honestly, but in this situation especially, you're going to need to come to the table with facts that not only create value for you, but they validate value for what it is that you bring to the table. So if for an alternative to that might be, for example, if you came into a negotiation and it's because you have four kids and two are twins and they're about to go to college in a month, and the youngest is still in diapers,
your own problem.
Those are choices that you made, right. And that is not your boss's responsibility to cover your twin daughter's college tuition. However, if you go into, and that's a dramatic example, but I always like to go to the extreme and back into it. But if you're going into a conversation like what you presented, and it's all about you and what they need to do for you and why they need to do it for you, and that, you know, and you bring your ego into it, and it's all about, you know, I could take my skill set and go across the street and compete against you, and I could do this and I could do that. All of a sudden, you're a person fighting with another person.
Right.
You're not a person establishing value for the contributions that you bring for the job that have factually increased business for this said company and created maybe a better team atmosphere if you're a manager, for example. But whatever value you've brought to this job goes out the window in front of the boss's eyes, because they're thinking, why are you asking me to feel sorry for you right now? And you're giving me an ultimatum, and all I'm going to do is get my feathers up and my
panties,
you know,
in a
raising
wad
up and coming back against you. I wasn't going to say that coming out of my mouth. Yeah, that just
that's why I said it.
And, well, how about put your big girl panties on? That may sound a little better. I don't know. Gross. Anyway, I don't want to talk about panties on our show. But that's where the negotiations fail, right there. At any time and at any point that you are feeling that you're going for the personal juggler, the personal attack, any kind of blackmail or any kind of ultimatum situation, you're really crossing the line between having a conversation with the person or having a moving towards a solution that is a win-win for everybody who's in the negotiation. Or at least, if it's not the win that you want for yourself, it's at least a mutually agreed upon decision that both people feel good about when they walk away from the table.
So I mean, you, not this episode, at least not yet, you are always bringing statistics and numbers and percentages into the show to back up, you know, the topic that we're talking about. In this case, we should come to the table when asking for a raise with, you know, I've increased business by so-and-so percent, and maybe you're saying back it up with some facts, back it up with some ammo.
Right. So, for example, like, I mean, you're an independent contractor. I can work independently as a contractor or work directly with the client as a consultant. But either way, they need to hire me based on the opportunities that I can provide for them, and how I need to be able to show them that the value of what I charge is met with the success records that I bring forth. And so that I can show them what I've done for people that are similar to them before and how that can work in their particular business category. And that is showing value. If I start getting in a tit for tat over that, well, they have this said budget, but they only want to pay this much, or they, you know, all of those kind of things, then that's when the emotion starts getting involved and the ego starts getting involved. But it does bring an alternate perspective that could be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that is something that we want to hold suspense around, or if
we do.
I should just dig right into that, because I'm thinking we could hold the suspense around.
We'll look into that. So now you've opened my eyes, and I could see where these combative words like opponent and adversary and one to defeat across the table when it comes to negotiations. Now you've opened my eyes. Okay, so we have to take a quick break. We'll get back to the suspense that Tracy has us on here. And
See, I was on time for that too.
You were.
How good is that?
She's watching her stopwatch. And then I've got a quick question for Tracy that she is in no way prepared for.
Fantastic. Wow. So excited. Can you tell?
Podcasting is fast becoming the hottest marketing platform and most personal way to convey your message to the world. Now is the time to launch your show. Podcast listening grew 23% between 2015 and 2016. And 21% of Americans ages 12 and up listened to a podcast in the past month. So you want to start a show but don't know how? ProduceYourPodcast.com can help. Our award-winning team of veteran broadcasters can help you launch, manage, and grow your show. You create the content and let the experts take the stress out of the rest. We offer full-service podcast production with live producers and distribution based on a customized marketing strategy to grow followers. Contact us at ProduceYourPodcast.com and schedule your free 15-minute consultation. ProduceYourPodcast.com. That's ProduceYourPodcast.com.
Take your business personally. Journey to there.
So we're back with our topic. It's not about the person, it's about the solution. We're talking about negotiations. And Tracy had us, of course, in suspense before we took our break. So let's circle back to that before I put her on the spot with my quick question.
Yeah, which I'm going to avoid. So we can run the clock on this, actually. So I was talking before about if you're a freelancer or an independent contractor or you're in negotiations where you're establishing your value. So in all of this, we've talked about, you know, talking to the talking through the value of bringing what you bring to the table, not arguing with the person, but coming for the solution that works. In the alternate perspective, the one situation where I can think about this, where you have to be really, really adamant in your negotiation, is around your price. And that is something that I find, especially within women entrepreneurs, and it is what it is. Women have a very difficult time when they attach their value of their work to a price. And it is typically until you do it and you stumble and you do it again and you stumble, do you actually really get super comfortable with it? And that is because women have a tendency to be really great at what they do, but they have a difficult time attaching a price to it. No, men have no issues attaching prices to what they do. It's just basically like, this is what I do and this is how much it costs, and take it or leave it because somebody else will pay it, right? I mean, that isn't all men. It isn't all women who don't. But
okay, I'm glad you said that part.
Yes. So these particular stereotypes do hold true in that men have less emotion attached to the financial outcome. Women have a tremendous amount, overly emotional about the value being attached to the outcome, good give or take.
Okay.
And so for women, price your prices for the value that you provide and stick to them and not negotiate down because you think you quote unquote should, or you just feel like you're getting bullied or something like that. So that is the alternate perspective too. At that point, you really are having a conversation with the person. You're still wanting the outcome that you want.
Right.
But you've got to stay focused on that outcome when you are talking to that person and keep your value intact in terms of what your services provide. So that's almost a takeaway, but it's also an alternate perspective
well. Okay, I'll take that. And you didn't run the clock up enough to support
Dang.
You. All right, here's what I want to know, because you enlightened me. I understood your use of some combative words when it comes to negotiation. And as we wrap up the show here, I think it was late 2015, maybe, we were negotiating about doing this show together.
Yes, and we were.
Now, mind you, we go back decades.
Way back.
To Tracy and Russ here. So,
2+ decades,
so,
just in case you didn't know.
with this, I guess, train of thought.
Oh, come on, just get to the question.
I want to know, was I your opponent, your adversary? Was I one to defeat across the table when you were thinking, okay, let's bring Russ into this project and...
Oh, okay, I can just stop you right now. Okay. I'm so glad you don't do this to me when my stories ramble on. Here's what I did, if you recall.
I'd love to hear what happened in Tracy's mind.
Totally backs up this entire episode. So I was emotionally attached to the outcome because I really, really, really wanted you to be on the show and produce the show for me. I didn't want anyone else to do it. However, I had never negotiated such a contract or an arrangement because I had never been in this situation before. So I researched.
New territory.
I researched new territory. I went through tons of different companies and did a lot of research on what the average compensation for was for the position that we were creating together. And you and I talked through those compensations and we mutually agreed upon what we both thought was fair. And it was a win-win.
It was a win-win. I think it's time to ask for a raise. I think it was a win-win.
It was a win-win until episode 58. I will give you that.
Along with Tracy LaForge. No, I'm stopping it here. I'm Russ Reba. Log on to the website at journeytothere.com. Follow us on Facebook. Hey, leave your comments about the show. Listen to us on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, and Power Radio. And we look forward to hanging out with you. Stop looking at me that way. For the next episode at the intersection between personal and business growth, this is the Journey to There Radio Show.
Just be sure not to get your anger up involved in all this negotiation conversations.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.